Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, AEW draws criticism from fans and CM Punk question mark over controversial new deal.
Monday Night Raw draws a record low rating.
It's official, Daniel Garcia is All Elite.
And a new gimmick for this AEW star. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
All right, let's kick things off with this Susan G. Komen controversy that kicked off last night. This was a whirlwind of things happening, boom, 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 boom. Basically, what happened was AEW, through their AEW Shop Twitter account, had tweeted out some new merch designs, a t-shirt, I believe there was a sweatshirt there as well, for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It was part of a partnership with Susan G. Komen, the cancer charity, and part of the proceeds towards these merch sales were going to go towards them. Now, that tweet went out last night, but it was quickly deleted. We have a screenshot because that's how you preserve things, I guess. It was quickly deleted when the company faced mass criticism, and perhaps understandably so. So Susan G. Komen, for those of you who don't know, they've been in partnership with WWE for a while, and WWE have drawn criticism for their partnership with the organization. It's theoretically one of the biggest breast cancer charities around, but they've had their fair share of controversies over the years. I've got a quick list of them here, but amongst other things, they have a history of filing legal trademark opposition against smaller charities for things like using like the pink ribbon as symbol, things like that. They've been criticized for excessive CEO salaries in 2010, 2012. One CEO, Nancy Brinker, earned over $600,000 PA, and that's a non-profit organization. They've faced allegations of pink washing, which is when you face, when your level of publicity is disproportionate to your donations, the amount that's going out in donations and everything else, and also using pink ribbons to promote carcinogenic or potentially carcinogenic products. And on top of that, there's a lot of concern, or there was at one point a lot of concern, over where their donations actually go. A report in 2009 to 2010 revealed that only 20.9% of the money that came in as donations actually went towards breast cancer research. Now, CM Punk was at the heart of this, because in 2015 he actually tweeted this thing that's on your screen right now, saying that if you're going to give your money to a company that claims to raise money for finding a cure for cancer, please do some research. Komen is a scam. Now, of course, CM Punk is with AEW, so when AEW announced a partnership with Komen, that comes back up and that becomes part of the dialogue. So Punk acknowledged this because presumably his notifications were getting flooded, and he tweeted the following. He said, "Hey everybody," and then a GIF that says, "We are working on it." Now AEW has deleted these products from their store. The tweet is gone as well. The promotion is yet to release an official statement on this matter. And we should note that Punk wasn't directly addressing this. He wasn't quote tweeting anyone or whatever, whatever. He tweeted out this at roughly the same time. So, you know, you kind of put two and two together with all of this. But for now, it appears the partnership was on ice. I couldn't believe when AEW announced this last night, given the criticism that WWE has faced.
Like, really surprising. Weird. Like, in terms of, they seem to be, of all the companies out there, the most sort of aware of what they're doing with a wide variety of these things. And it's, you know, we should give them credit first and foremost for trying to do something good, breast cancer awareness month, all that sort of thing. But yeah, it surprises me that no one in AEW prior to this tweet going out stuck their hand up and went, really?
Yeah.
Susan G. Komen?
Like, maybe we should have picked
nowhere else that we could redirect these funds. It just, like you say, this is an organisation that comes with a lot of baggage, and this shouldn't be a sudden surprise. WWE has been tainted with this accusations with this company for quite some time. Like you say, Punk was one of the leading people in terms of arguing against that company. I'm glad that they've made this change, but it surprised me that it took genuine public backlash for them to actually do this.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the backlash was completely earned. It was a move that, like you say, somebody within the company should have gone, maybe we should reconsider this and maybe look at different charities and everything else. We'll see what happens with it. We'll see if there are any official words coming out of the company or whatever else. But for now, it looks like at least the t-shirts are gone. So that's kind of something.
Yeah, I think Past Punk hit it on the head when he said, if you're going to donate to charity, which is something you absolutely should do, just do your research first. And I'm surprised AEW didn't do that before announcing this deal. Let's move on, though. Let's talk more about ratings. We haven't talked about them for 24 hours. Let's talk about Monday Night Raw's ratings, because they slumped to their record low rating in the 18 to 49 demo for Raw this week. They did a 0.39. That's the lowest in the show's history. That's around 514,000 viewers watching the show of that demographic. They did actually increase in overall viewership, increasing from 1.582 million to 1.591 million this week. But yeah, record low rating. The previous record low was December 2020, when they drew 530,000 viewers in that demo, 514,000, as I said, in the demo for this week. Monday Night Football continually being the scourge of Monday Night Raw, it seems.
Yeah, that's the extenuating circumstances, isn't it? The Monday Night Football, which dominated the night, though I believe there was some MLB coverage on Monday Night as well on cable. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of why Raw's numbers are down a little bit at the moment. There are wider trends, of course, year on year and everything else that we can talk about, but... yeah, all-time low for the 18 to 49 demographic, which, as we covered yesterday, is how shows are ranked. It's given the most credence by advertisers and networks and everything else. It's considered the most important metric, not overall viewership. Dynamite this week was down on Saturday, but again, extenuating circumstances. It's on Saturday, but it was up compared to the previous Saturday. So we only talk about ratings on this channel when it's something notable, right?
Yes.
Smaller company beats a big company, that's notable. WWE's 13 times the size of AEW. All-time low, all-time high. That's when we bring out this discussion. We've done it for 2 days in a row now. I highly doubt we will be sitting here tomorrow morning talking about the NXT 2.0 rating unless they draw, two viewers.
And they should... well, no, sorry, I thought you were going to say record ratings. They should, because of Tony D'Angelo and that amazing cast that they've got. I love NXT 2.0. Hey,
get yourself something nice, huh?
Get yourself something nice. I love it. Hey, forget about it.
Well, we got just one workout left to do.
A
couple 12-ounce curls.
I can't stop watching this show. But yes, look, it's to do with Monday Night Football, maybe to do with other sports going up against it. What's it to do with bad booking? Stop booking these huge matches, which are genuinely interesting and dedicated fans or casual fans will be interested in, and they're not having a finish. Like, even if you have the shenanigans of the finish that we saw on SmackDown with Sasha and Becky, at least we got a finish there. It's like, how many weeks in a row can we have, the DQ finish in the Raw Women's Championship match this week, the double, we can't coexist anymore in the last week's show. Just book clean finishes, like Sid suggested, for a year, and let's see what happens with that viewership trend, in my opinion.
Reward investment and you will encourage viewers to come back. Pretty simple formula.
Yeah, or just keep hoying old guys out there and hoping for the best.
I love Goldberg threatening to murder people. He's done it 3 weeks in a row, hasn't he?
Stop saying you're going to kill people in Saudi Arabia, Bill.
Silly Billy. All right. Daniel Garcia, he's all elite. Hey!
Hey!
That's cool. That's good. So this kind of came out last week a little bit on Evil Uno's vlog, of all places.
Well, of course.
Garcia was like, yeah, you can say it. I'm signed this, whatever. And then Fightful Select came out last night and confirmed that Garcia, even though he hadn't had the Is All Elite graphic thing yet, has been signed to a full-time contract. Previous to that, he had been working under a looser agreement with AEW, as is often the case. These tiered deals that we've often heard about. So last night, on the back of this Fightful Select report coming out, Tony Khan confirmed it. Graphics there said the following of Daniel Garcia. This year he came into AEW with great reputation built through hard work on the indies, and he's continued to work hard here in AEW. He's shown no fear, never backing down from anyone, even the best in the world. Thank you and welcome to the team, Daniel Garcia. Yeah, man, he's already worked with like John Moxley, CM Punk, Darby Allin, like a who's who of big AEW baby faces. I think at 23 years old, he's one of the most promising wrestlers in the world.
Absolutely.
He's already technically absolutely superb. He's a great in-ring storyteller, a great seller. He does little things that a lot of wrestlers don't think about as well. He recently had like a short match with Lee Moriarty on Dark. It was only about 3 minutes, but it was packed with so much detail. And then after the bell, he's selling his limb the whole way. Even after the bell, he's standing there clutching his arm, you know, not accepting the referee hosting it up. Little details like that are what I love in pro wrestling, and I love Daniel Garcia for that reason.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of those people that I just assumed was already All Elite until I saw this story, because he's so talented. He's absolutely one to watch for the future. I remember him, I think it was in the Punk match, when he just calms himself down in the midst of trying to kill CM Punk, basically. But so happy for him. Absolutely, he's going to be a star of the future in AEW if he isn't already. And happy for both his dads, Matt and Jeff from 2.0 as well, who are going to be so pleased for him as well. But yeah, Daniel Garcia, All Elite, another fantastic signing for AEW. Let's talk about another star from AEW for our final story, who's getting a new gimmick. I don't really know what's going on here, Andy, basically. He has claimed that this is not the case, I will point out. But it looks like Cody Rhodes is going to be joining forces with Fuego del Sol on AEW Dark, the tapings later on this week on Sunday, because they have formed Too Fast, Too Fuego. It was announced on Sammy Guevara's vlog. Apparently vlogs is where we get our news now. And, it's Cody.
Yeah.
Look at the photo.
It's Cody, yes.
Not many other people have the word Dream tattooed on their chest. Despite the fact that Cody tweeted, I'm not involved with this, but I'm excited to see a fresh team joining the fray. He's got a busy week, Cody, of course. He is going to be facing Malakai Black for the third time on Dynamite this week. I've got an interesting question with him when it comes to the Twitter questions in just a few minutes' time, but have I bumped my head? What's going on here?
He's screwing around on Dark, isn't he? He's just having a bit of fun, having a laugh. I love him gimmicking it on Twitter. It's not me. Stop tagging me in this stuff, blah, blah, blah. It's fun. It's Dark. It's the YouTube show. It's like the D show at this point. I'm into this. Goofy stuff on the YouTube show, which is all about developing people, is fun.
Too Fast, Too Fuego. I'm here just for the name.
There we go.
But let us know your thoughts in the comments. And we'll move on to your Twitter questions at WhatCultureWWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with. First question today comes from Biggest Joe, who says, hi guys, just watched Simon Miller's video on wrestlers dreaming of AEW. It's on the channel, go and check it out. I was just thinking, if all of them do go in the next few years, how long do WWE have with such a depleted roster? With AEW, surely that is the aim for indie stars now and not WWE. It does seem the pendulum swinging.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I think if you're an independent wrestler, could talk about this for 20 minutes, even longer, but like, certain wrestlers will always dream of going to WWE because it's the market leader, it's what they watched up, they grew up watching everything else. But increasingly, I think with WWE no longer recruiting as extensively from the indie pool, a lot of indie wrestlers will be looking at AEW and going, oh, hey, maybe I'll be able to do more pro wrestling stuff here, traditional pro wrestling stuff here, as opposed to like sports entertainment-y stuff. I think WWE will continue drawing from elsewhere, bringing in these other athletes and trying to build them from the ground up, as we've seen with NXT 2.0 now, and that will be the blueprint. Whether or not that will swing back, you never know. Vince McMahon is a lunatic. He could change his mind tomorrow. But that's how I see things panning out with regards to indie guys.
Yes, I think so. And in terms of, yes, you know, we always talk about suggesting, you know, your Kevin Steens, your El Genericos, all those sorts of people potentially making the leap over. You've got to remember just how big that WWE roster is. Even if half, which is not going to happen, leapt to AEW. It's not going to happen, A, because, well, WWE aren't going to let that happen, and AEW can't afford to sign half the WWE roster.
Don't have seven shows, yeah.
But even if you literally halve that roster, think about the talent pools in NXT, like NXT 2.0, like you said, or in specifically like NXT UK, which is somewhere they rarely go to, but they've got some sensationally talented people there as well. I think they're going to be fine, but it's going to be very interesting over the next few years to see how those rosters change.
Absolutely.
Second question today comes from Matthias Geronimo, who says, hi guys, greetings from Rio de Janeiro. Is Cody finally turning heel in his third match against Aleister Black, or Malakai Black, of course? Or do you guys think the Arn Anderson segments, the idea is to keep him face?
Don't think he needs to turn. I don't think he needs to turn. Cody's been coming through, you know, AEW has these two ramps, these two tunnels,
yes,
face and heel. From day one, Cody has been coming straight down the middle. That tells you, for me, everything you need to know about the guy and his alignment. He said in the past that AEW's formations were not going to have a traditional face-heel alignment skill. That hasn't been 100% true. There are some very traditional heels and faces in the company, but it tells you that he views this as more of a Shades of Grey thing.
Yeah.
He's going to veer in the direction depending on the storyline. I don't think he'll turn in any direction at any point because I don't believe that he believes that's something he needs to do. So that's my answer.
I think he's going to veer more heel-ish, but I think you're right. He's not going to go explicitly heel. I think it's more likely that Malakai Black is slowly transitioning into a face with his nod at the end of the match the other day. And yeah, I just see eventually, fingers crossed, a feud between Cody and CM Punk about talking about change and being change and just allowing fans to cheer who they want to cheer, which in this case will be CM Punk. But yeah, I don't see it being explicitly, I'm dark now, I'm evil, sort of thing. Final question today comes from Matt Ryan, aka Aussie Dead, who says, do you think we may see a potential tease at Crown Jewel? Goes down tomorrow night, of course. Join us for the live stream of all that. Do you see a potential tease at Crown Jewel between Lashley and Lesnar for a possible WrestleMania match?
Certainly something that Bobby's been after for a long, long time, isn't it? Maybe we're a little bit too early for teases towards that at the moment, you know.
Haven't even thought about Mania yet.
Yeah, Bobby's probably going to do a jobby to Goldberg on the night. And there's a possibility that Roman Reigns might be defeated by Brock Lesnar, which would lead them in different tangents. So I don't think we'll get that tease early. But hey, if you're looking at like booking patterns into next year, it's a logical place to go, right?
Absolutely. With or without a title, that is a huge marquee match for WrestleMania. I do hope we get it. I don't know whether they're going to have the foresight to even to tease it all the time, because I sense a lot of those guys go in, wrestle, take their paycheck and bugger off from Saudi Arabia, and I don't blame them. Let's move on to today's and finally. And I just went to one of the stars of NXT 2.0's Twitter for this. It's Duke Bloody Hudson. He's a bloody poker player now, and he tweeted, you may remember the story we talked about the other day with Rhea Ripley's missing gear, big thank you to everyone who bid on the Rhea Ripley worn gear and championship title last night. All proceeds will be going straight onto the table in Duke's bloody poker room. That is how you do heel stuff on Twitter, Andy Murray.
It's just good banner, isn't it?
I really like him. I mean, the segments are
weird.
Are what they are.
Yeah.
But
full house.
He's what, is he? I was about to say, how tall is he? And then I remembered it's his Twitter handle. He's 6'5". He's going to be fine.
All
WWE.
In. Cards.
River.
Spades.
Turn.
Jake of Spades. Ace of...
Andy Murray.
What am I doing?
Hit me.
No.
Oh, I mean the...
No, I'm not fine on that.
Pontoon. Blackjack.
Solitaire.
Do you know why I like cards? As they got hearts. Right, let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Dudley Boys sitting down to review NXT 2.0 and look ahead to Crown Jewel later on today. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
Hey, you can follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H today stands for... Hey, want to give a shout-out to Michael Kohler, friend of the channel, supporter of the channel. We appreciate you very much. Thank you very much for the wonderful coffee you have sent us. We will be drinking that all day, getting high on your supply, losing our minds. But no, very thoughtful of you. We appreciate the support. We can't do any of this stuff without people, you know, watching us and checking us out.
And I can't operate on a morning without a coffee, so thank you for that, Michael, as well. But yes, thanks to all of you guys for this support. It's mad that we get to do this as a job, and it's always a constant reminder that without you guys, we'd just be two guys chatting in a room. And I love your company. I love chatting stuff with you. But we kind of need those guys as well, don't we?
It ain't making money, is it? You know, we're just sitting here.
Okay, what is it? What's the dollar cents thing?
Don't make dollars, don't make sense. Shout out to DJ Quick.
There you go. Follow me on Twitter, Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.